Hey teachers, if you're tired of not knowing how to create your lessons that reach EL newcomers in your classroom in a way that your content is actually accessible to them, and you no longer want to be limited by the constant push to move your ELs forward without concrete understanding behind why simple accommodations in your already existing lessons make all the difference for the newcomers, I have something exciting to share with you. I have compiled every masterclass I have ever recorded on how to teach and reach English learners in a regular education classroom. I am talking strategies, how-tos, and ready-made resources, and have created a digital masterclass library called Light the Way to EL Teaching Success, where you can get instant access to 10 practical and actionable videos, 8 done-for-you lessons, and 1 professional development certificate for 3 hours of your time. If you are looking for practical PD that you can do on your own time and gain all the knowledge you need about teaching English learners from the comfort of your home, Light the Way to EL Teaching Success Digital Masterclass Library is for you. To learn more and to join, click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to see you inside. You're listening to episode 108 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. I have a confession to make. Sometimes I run out of steam to teach, and sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing next. And sometimes I stare at my computer screen for hours trying to figure out something out, but then I go down a rabbit hole of something completely unrelated to lesson planning, like checking out airplane tickets to somewhere, anywhere in the world. This typically happens more frequently towards the end of the school year when the testing season is in full swing, it is difficult to get back to a routine, and there are other types of interruptions. But I have to teach. It is my job, and my students depend on me, right? So I have created a folder over the years of activities that I whip out and use when my brain cells do not cooperate. The best part, I'm excited to mix things up in the classroom, which transfers to my students, and then we all have a natural boost of energy. It becomes more meaningful to all of us as we work on all 4 language domains, and the students are able to demonstrate what they have learned up until that point. So, are you ready to hear about those activities? I bet you are. Let's get to the episode. Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. As you heard my little confession in the episode introduction, I am but a simple human. I too get tired and I too get bored and run out of ideas for teaching creatively and in an engaging manner. That happens to the best of us. For example, this year I have doubled down on vocabulary instructions with all of my classes, and I've truly tried a lot of ways to first generate vocabulary that would be meaningful to my students, and then to practice using it in ways that will stick. So I've talked about vocabulary instruction in other podcast episodes, but I believe this topic is almost inexhaustible and there will be more episodes on it. And sometimes it feels like reinventing the wheel, and other times I already see that the students, while they enjoy the routine and knowing what's expected of them for some time, they too get bored of the same activities and the sparkle is lost. So I decided to look back at some of the things I had discovered earlier in my career when I found myself in a similar predicament. So these activities that we do not regularly do, but when we engage in them, they're usually a pretty big hit. There are those activities that say, how come I didn't think of that earlier, right? So not to mention they address language development in all 4 language domains. So that is also another win. So I have some to share with you today, and there are 3 listening, speaking, and communication activities and two writing for you. One of them has to do with vocabulary. So let's get started. So the first activity that my students really like is back-to-back drawing. It is, as I mentioned, one of them favorites in listening and speaking because you can see the result at the end of it. It also eliminates the facial expressions, so the students have to rely on their partner to listen carefully to perform a task. And the third benefit is that it has a deeper lesson of the importance of clear communication, as well as encourages team building and collaboration. So you will need very simple materials and a very simple setup. It would be pen and pencil, paper, and a printout of relatively easy to draw image that preferably consists of geometric shapes because it is easier to describe a shape than a more abstract picture. So you can Google back-to-back drawing activity and the images should pop up right on Google. Pair up your students and make sure the partners sit back to back and don't face each other. And one partner gets a paper with a picture and the other partner gets a pen and paper. So you have to explain to the students that the partner that has a black and white drawing picture will describe it to the other person without telling them explicitly what is drawn in the picture. So the person who has the blank piece of paper and a pencil has to draw the picture exactly as their partner is explaining to them. After 5 to 10 minutes, stop the activity and have the partners exchange the papers and see how the one that was supposed to draw did. This is a great time for class discussion and to answer questions about what helped them to understand, what didn't, what words they were stuck with, what new words came to mind, and so on. Even more, it is a good exercise in growth mindset because I have found that a lot of teenage students feel embarrassed if they don't get it exactly right. But thinking and talking about learning from communication and our mistakes is what helps them see the difference. The second activity is also back-to-back, but this time it's an interview and the setup is similar. It relies on the listening skills only because the partners, again, don't see each other's faces and facial expressions. So students sit in pairs and the one student is the interviewer and asks the other student the questions to learn more about them or a topic that you're studying. Then the students switch. And I have found that for this activity, it is important to prepare the students and to have discussions about the expectations before you embark on it. So this could be almost like a week-long project, and depending on how much time you have. So you could discuss what are the goals for the interview, for example. In some interviews, we gather and share information, but in others, you know, we want to present a different perspective. So it is important for students to know what the goal is of this interviewing. You could also review the types of questions and the answers each of those types require. Literally, yes and no questions expect you to say yes or no, right? Do you like oranges? Yes or no. Now, what are open-ended questions? Open-ended questions are those that you need to come up with your own answer without a prompt, and it has to be a complete answer. Follow-up questions are ones that gather more information and so on. And again, you can give examples of how somebody asks a question, and then you follow up on that same, on their answer. And also, if you see that your partner is not answering the question that you ask, teaching how the students how to rephrase their question is also another good skill. So this can be done in class with students. This activity itself can be done in class with students talking when they're not facing each other, right? So one student asks a question, the other one answers, and then the interviewer writes it down. But you can also assign this for students to record, and then their partner can listen to it. So there are different ways that you can engage in this depending on your topic and depending on your teaching setup. Now, once both students have been interviewed, they share what they learned about the other student with the class. And again, the variations include this can also be done not only about a student, right? But if you read a book, for example, this can be done as a book character. Or if you want to go a little bit more in depth about a certain famous person, this can be done as a famous person, and the other students will have to figure out who you are. So this is an excellent, excellent activity for the students to engage in, to learn how to ask and answer questions. The third speaking activity that is also fun, and I really like that it's, not a very fluff, how to say. It requires a little bit of prep ahead of time, but once you prepared, you can really reuse it year after year. So the first thing that you need to do is to create a list of opinions that you want the class to discuss or to express their opinions on, okay? So the list could be related to a recent lesson. It could be related to a reading you just did, a video, or something random like green is the best color or something like that. I have found that good topics are ones that students have a reaction to. So that usually has to do with a school rule, for example, or something greater that is impacting their life. If you listen to classroom conversations, you will know what tickles your students. A lot of them are doing driver's education, or they're looking for jobs, or they're trying to figure out their college education. So these are the good starting points for having a mini discussion and mini debate. So you should ideally create two groups, one to make an argument for your statement and one to make an argument against. It's a great, great opportunity to teach persuasive speech. Again, depending on your students and the language proficiency, you might want to pre-teach vocabulary and certain sentence structures that would be effective when arguing a point. And in addition, this is a great activity that helps ELLs learn how to think on their feet. I look at my students, and whenever they have, let's say, a presentation to do or any kind of speaking activity for their regular education classrooms, they stress out so much. They want to write everything just so, and they want to almost memorize everything that they wrote, and they worry about their pronunciation. And in this case, this is not it. In this case, you have to draw on your experience, and you have to draw on all of your prior knowledge. So I highly, highly recommend engaging in this mini debate. Some students might not agree with the stance that they were assigned, but that's okay. It's an exercise in empathy on everyone's part. And it also allows the students to practice respectful communication in a safe environment. All right, let's shift gears and now talk about writing. Like speaking, writing is a productive skill. You need to know the words and how to use them, right? But unlike speaking, you also have to know how to spell those words, and that is quite a big obstacle for a lot of ELs. That said, we all learn and we all write. So the easiest writing activity that you can go to is journaling. I've done my fair share of journal prompts with the students, but I have not found topics or format that I love and that would make sense for what we're working on. Frequently, I post a journal question at the start of the class as a warm-up or a bell ringer, but it frequently turns immediately into conversation because, you know, why write if I can respond? So, again, if I have if I crack the code of journal writing, or if you have any ideas of how to effectively incorporate journal writing in an ELL class, I'm all ears. But I have found other activities which, even though might be challenging for newcomers, can allow students to practice writing in a way that doesn't require extensive workload and is also connected to their life. So the first one is called social media writing prompts. At middle and high school level, everyone uses social media in one way or another. While a lot of what I'm seeing is taking selfies at awkward angles and snapping them to their friends, there are and will be times when they will need to make a social post, and at the very least, they all read social posts written by others. So here are a few ways you can utilize this type of writing, okay? So first of all, as always, preview what it takes, because a social media post has to be succinct and to the point to capture the reader's attention. So we have Instagram posts, we have Twitter or X nowadays, we have memes and so on. So let's pull that knowledge in and see what the students can do. So after they read a story or watch a video, ask them to summarize it in 5 or 6 sentences, as if they could put it on X or former Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't know. I don't use it very much. Maybe that's why. So that requires a certain way for them, you know, practicing summarization also in a way that captures the reader's attention. You could also provide an image for the students and ask them to write an Instagram caption for each of them. And then a variation of this could be giving your students a meme template or ask them to create their own meme, 1 or 2 sentences, plus a caption that explains why they feel this way. So the possibilities are really endless for the social media writing. And the students usually love this tie-in because it's something that is related to their everyday life and what they do all the time. And the last, but certainly not least, activity is categorizing and connecting. As I mentioned at the start of this episode, I have done a lot of vocabulary teaching lately, and sometimes vocabulary practice can get a little boring for the students. So this activity is appropriate for all levels of ELs. And categorizing vocabulary and showing connections among words becomes easier and easier, and it truly is effective. So give students familiar and new vocabulary words in whatever platform you like. I typically post weekly vocabulary in a Canva presentation in Google Classroom. Sometimes the students make posters that hang on the walls in the classroom, so they are exposed not only to new but also previous words. Higher proficiency level students should categorize the words according to what makes sense to them. For example, by parts of speech, usage in the sentence, similarities in pronunciation. They can work individually or they can work with a partner, which allows also not writing, but also practice in speaking. And for lower proficiency students and newcomers, you should give some guidance, use images, and provide the categories and start with something simple and more concrete, and then you can go up in the more abstract category. So you can pair this game with discussions, you can pair them with short writing activities, but this is sure, you know, to get the students out of their seats and get them thinking, get them moving, and it will be different than the typical, you know, write a journal entry or create a sentence with this particular word. So this activity can be repeated as many times as you like, and it's a great formative assessment too. It will give you a lot of information. The more you do it, the more students will be able to see connections between words, and then they will be able to come up with even better categories for those words. And that is all for today. I hope you found this episode useful. It is always great to have activities that you don't normally do up your sleeve, especially for those times when you're exhausted. The ones I shared in this episode are very low prep too, which always helps. Now, over to you. What are your go-to activities for the I can't think about anything days? Send me a message on Instagram and let's chat. Be sure to share this episode with your friends and colleagues. As you know, I'm on a mission to reach as many teachers as possible and help them discover their own power in reaching multilingual learners in their classroom. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do 2 things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.